We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Hour number 3 is on your radio. Look, we got a loaded final hour for you today, folks. The top 3 at 3 right now. Up in the next segment, Brad Crawford from 24/7 Sports joins us. He's ranked the top 20 facilities, college football facilities in the country. How does Clemson stack up? How does South Carolina stack up in the arms race in college football? Because you know recruits want to see the bling. Right? Bling meaning your championships, bling meaning your structures, your facilities. How are Clemson and South Carolina stacking up in that regard? Brad Crawford joins us at 3:20 to give us an update on that. How long will it be? Are we close to the point where you think the rest of the country will finally consider the Carolina Panthers to be both a North and South Carolina NFL team? Are we getting close to that point as the Carolina Panthers look to relocate their team headquarters to York, South Carolina? What do you think there? That coming up in this hour as well. As for right now, we do it each and every day at this time. It is time to get to the top 3 at 3. All right, at number 3, the Carolina Panthers have signed former Patriots wide receiver Chris Hogan. I'm here to tell you, I love this signing from the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton has long needed a wide receiver that he can rely on, right? And you know it and I know it, the white guy wide receiver is viewed as the reliable wide receiver. And Chris Hogan can be that. Why is it that the Patriots are the only team in the NFL to have the successful little Hunter Renfros running around out there? And they do it so very, very well. Look, the Panthers right now, by adding Chris Hogan, add him to a receiver room that includes Moore, Samuel, Smith, and Wright. That position of weakness for the Carolina Panthers is suddenly becoming a strength. And the reliability that Chris Hogan gives Cam Newton, I think this is one of the more underrated signings in the entire offseason. Hogan was surprised that he went unsigned as long as he has. But the reality is, better late than never, and I think this could be one of the more underrated signings in the offseason if he's used properly by Carolina. I think it's an exciting fit. I think he's an exciting signing. I think Chris Hogan, he may not be the number one wide receiver on the team, but he might get the guy that consistently comes through for you on 3rd and 5 on key drives to win the football game. This, to me, is a very low-risk, high-reward proposition for Carolina. I personally am all about it, and I enthusiastically support the signing of Chris Hogan for Carolina. I just think, man, what an addition. Cam needed reliability. They gave him reliability. And I look, if he's healthy and Cam Newton can play, I think this looks to be a very successful Carolina Panthers season here coming up. Next up. What a mess in Pittsburgh. All right. Former Pittsburgh running back Rashard Mendenhall this week tweeted the following, and he put it, ladies and gentlemen, in rhyme form. All right. Here you go. All right. I'll end the mystery. Bees, meaning Ben Roethlisberger, is racist, and Antonio Brown is black. He had to catch balls from a racist quarterback. Every honest player knows it. It's not a big deal. He was just supposed to take his lickings and move on like a slave for real. Rashard Mendenhall on Ben Roethlisberger. Them is fighting words from the former Steelers running back. And it's kind of a wow moment. Look, I've never known what to make of Ben Roethlisberger. Two different women have accused him of sexual assault over the course of his career. The Ben Roethlisberger that presents to the media is anything but. Here is my best guess. Here is my sentiment as to what I believe has gone on with Pittsburgh. All right? I believe that these guys, Antonio Brown, Rashard Mendenhall, Le'Veon Bell, probably do have a realistic beef on Big Ben on some level. There's too much smoke there not to be fire. And I think what really probably gets to them is the fact that Roethlisberger keeps getting the silver spoon treatment from the Rooney family, from ownership, year after year after year. There is way too much infighting on that team for them to experience any success whatsoever on the gridiron. And I don't know what to make of them this year. You know, there's a couple teams every year in the NFL. I have no earthly idea what to expect from them. Last year was Lonzo's Kansas City Chiefs because I didn't know what Pat Mahomes would be. We got the answer and then some. He's the NFL MVP. Is a Pittsburgh team without Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, now having moved on to the Jets and the Raiders respectively, are they actually better now? Is that an addition by subtraction? I find that hard to believe, but most are still picking the Pittsburgh Steelers to make the playoffs in 2019. I have just no confidence one way or the other. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, you call me a bad guy for this, but I root against Tiger Woods, and I think that's okay. All right? When I'm watching golf, I can't get behind that guy. And I look at it just like rooting against teams in other sports. Sports is allowed to have villains. You're allowed to have villains in the beautiful games. I root against the Warriors because they're a super team. You root against the Yankees in baseball because they're the evil empire. I've always rooted against the Dallas Cowboys because who are they to tell me you're America's team? You don't get to say that to me. Sports is a game that's about villains and heroes and so on and so forth. And I root against Tiger Woods. It's something that I've always done. It's something that I will continue to do. And I do it for this reason and this reason alone. I feel lied to by Tiger. Now, as a Christian man, I believe in forgiveness. But I've not been apologized to by Tiger. You've not been apologized to by Tiger. Apologize for cheating. Apologize for infidelity. Apologizing for lying to us. That is really the issue here. Tiger Woods lied to us all with everything he was associated with. You see, Tiger Woods, ladies and gentlemen, was associated with class. Everything about him was tied to the class brand, to the class word. Watches, Buick vehicles, the classiest rides, sports drink, clothing line, all the way down to his logo. Everything Tiger Woods was all about class, and behind the scenes, he was showing his ass, literally, to tens of women that might have been over 50, all the while he was taking the sacred vow of marriage. You can say, Mark, what, have you never sinned? Of course I've sinned. But we all, to ourselves, have personal deal breakers, things that we cannot look past, all right? And what Tiger Woods did, to me, personally speaking, outside looking in, lying to us all about his image and being a fraud that told us that he was all about class when the reality is he was anything but, that to me is why I choose to root against him. I want to make this distinction, though. I root for Tiger getting his life in order. I root for that. I root against Tiger on the golf course. And if I could add this as an aside, I think this is really, really interesting. Because for the first time in a long time, you know, in terms of the golf viewing public, in terms of all of you that'll watch the major championships, and we have the Masters on in the studio right now, I believe that for the first time, Tiger being dominant isn't mandatory. Tiger not being dominant feels okay. The last 8 years, Tiger not being dominant felt like golf was dying. But for the first time in a long time, it feels like golf is in good enough hands without him, with the likes of Dustin Johnson from America, Ricky Fowler from America, so on and so forth. I feel golf is in better hands now than it's ever been moving forward. And the reason, and this is part of the sad truth of it all, Tiger Woods gave birth to a bunch of kids that ultimately would beat Tiger Woods. Because you see, Tiger Woods was the first golfer in the history of the sport that had a club in his hands at the age of three. And when his father, Earl, put those clubs in his hands at the age of three, there was a golf creation that we'd never seen before. Since that time, fathers all over the country have had clubs in their kids' hands out of the womb. And so you see, Tiger's success in and of itself has ultimately led to Tiger Woods being beaten by the younger and newer generation. Will Tiger Woods ever win a major again? My money is against it. I hope he gets his life in order. I'm rooting for Tiger the person to become a better human being. But I'm rooting against Tiger on the golf course. And I'm asking you, is that okay? Do you have beef with me? Do you have beef with me on that? Now, those are today's top three at three. Now it's your chance to chime in, which you can do at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSPN. 1-844-GSP-ESPN. That's right. The text line is there for you at 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter, if you follow us, we get to your tweets on the air at ESPN Upstate, at Mark Ryan on air, at Lonzo on word. And you can email the show as well. Proud to say that the show has gotten multiple emails every single day this week. Love that you guys are reaching out to me that way. You can reach me via email, Mark, M-A-R-C, Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. Up next, going to do something we don't normally do. We go off the field and into the facilities where Brad Crawford of 24/7 Sports has ranked the 20 best college football facilities in the country. You know that matters when it comes to recruiting. Where does South Carolina stack up? How about Clemson? I just saw them over the weekend. This is the most interactive sports radio show in the Upstate. You're listening to Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be with you guys on a Friday edition of the show. Programming note, I'll be out on Monday. Matt Harab, a friend of mine from Houston, Texas, is filling in my stead. And he will be in from 1 to 4 for you today. Looking forward to hearing his show. And looking forward to having him fill in for me. Looking forward to seeing what you guys think of the job that he does. Monday, 1 to 4. I'll be back on Tuesday, which will be episode 60 of Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. You know, it's called the arms race in college football. And when people say the arms race in college football, they're talking about, you know, the facilities that you have. Are you keeping up with the Joneses in college football? I'm not really a big keeping up with the Joneses guy when it comes to my life, when it comes to houses, cars, everything. I don't have to have the nicest stuff in the entire neighborhood. I just want to fit in, right? But in the world of college football, you're trying to attract the best recruits in the country all the time, and that stuff matters. They see the bling, they see the trophies, they see your entertainment options, and that stuff matters. It never used to be this way. When I went to college, and man, this makes me feel old, but when I went to college, and I'm 41 years old, the players lived in crappy dorms inside of the stadium. Okay, now there are entire football complexes devoted to what the old school never had or never thought possible. Now football has become a glory game, you know, a glorious game, a bells and whistles type of game the recruiting game has, when it never used to be that way. So where do the local teams stack up when it comes to the arms race? Are they doing enough to keep themselves in the running for the best players in the country? Joining us to talk about that, covers college football for 24/7 Sports and has two great articles out in the last 6 months ranking the top 20 facilities in college football for 2019. Brad Crawford from 24/7 Sports joins us right now on the show. Brad, good afternoon, bud. How are you?
Thanks for having me, man. You know, I had a football coach at a D1 program tell me once that if you don't have a couple cranes on campus or construction equipment somewhere, you're falling behind. And that really is the case in the college football arms race.
It really is, and it seems to be something that's kind of never ending at Florida under Jeremy Foley. That's not a race that Florida wanted to find themselves in. Florida fell behind and then started falling behind in the recruiting rankings. Then Dan Mullen comes in. Suddenly Florida has the indoor practice facility as well. But we're here in the upstate of South Carolina right now, and I was looking at your list here. And darn it, on your most recent list, I don't see Florida. I don't see Florida in the top 20 anymore. They were in the top 20 in your list, I think, in September. They're not in the current one. But the two big boys from South Carolina are. Why don't you talk to us about South Carolina's facilities, their new facility, and their number 7 overall ranking nationally on your best facilities article?
Yeah, you know, man, it's hard to believe that it took the Florida Gators, you know, winners of several national titles, several decades just to get an indoor practice facility as much as it rains in the state of Florida. I see that you've worked in Tampa. I used to live in Orlando, and you know about the daily rainstorms there.
Every single day, that time of year, June, July, and August. And if you're a resident there, you love it because it's the only thing that saves you from the 100-degree temperatures, right? So you don't mind it in the middle of the summer. But if you got to practice at football, you got to have a more reliable place to get that work in, and Florida never did. So let me ask you first, can I ask you a selfish question? Why did Florida fall out of your top 20 between September and January?
Yeah, you know, several schools were able to get in, and having been to some of those schools and toured the facilities myself, I just think, you know, several of these newcomers just have nicer facilities as far as the eye can see. Northwestern, you know, Most
right on the water, right on the water,
program.
Right? Yeah, they're right on the water there. Incredible.
Super nice. Yeah, super nice. At Washington Huskies, you know, have a very nice stadium. They have a new $1 million locker room upgrade that's pretty the state of the art. And Florida State even. Florida State was a school that was, you know, way behind under Jimbo Fisher, despite having national success. And now they've added a, you know, standalone facility. I think the cost of that complex was $60 million. But, yeah, you know, both schools in South Carolina and Clemson are both inside my top 10. Those two schools, over the last 5 years or so, have really funneled a lot of money into enhancing
facilities. So if we can, Brad, let's start with South Carolina first. You know, they have the brand-new Cindy and Kenneth Long Family Football Operations Center. What can you tell us about this? What gets this facility inside your top 10?
Yeah, you know, 110,000 square feet of greatness now in Columbia. This program has been lacking for a decade or so. Despite those, you know, 3-11 win seasons under Spurrier, you know, a lot of 4- and 5-star guys on official visits would, you know, sort of see Williams-Brice, and that's somewhat of an older stadium. And you know, really, they would go down to the locker room inside Williams-Brice and just not see a whole lot. As someone who's been inside the old locker rooms at Williams-Brice, you know, they don't compare to many of the other SEC East institutions. But now this indoor facility, man, is really sweet. You know, it's better than North Carolina and NC State, who have both added indoor facilities within the last 5 or 6 years. You know, there's state-of-the-art rooms across this entire thing. The football offices are now in there. Speaking to several players, you know, who haven't yet committed, they're all super impressed when they go on visits and see, you know, George Rogers' Heisman Trophy and his, you know, statue outside the stadium, as well as the indoor facility.
What are some of the bells and whistles inside the facility?
Yeah, you know, there's the haircut room, barbershop. You know, a lot of schools have that now. I think Oregon actually was the first school to incorporate that. You know, I've seen Oregon in person, and that's pretty sweet, man. I mean, to be in Nike's backyard, basically the Swoosh's flagship school with, you know, Phil Knight money there. Oregon's nice. You know, Gamecocks and Under Armour have borrowed a little bit from Oregon, I'd say. You know, there's a 20,000 square foot weight room that just overshadows, you know, the old weight room there at the north end of the stadium at Williams-Brice. Lot of strength training equipment. You know, there's a NFL type hallway where, you know, there's Stephon Gilmore, Clowney, guys like that who are emblazoned on the walls. So The Gamecocks have, you know, borrowed ideas from several schools and have really pushed themselves to the forefront as far as facilities go.
Let me ask you this, and I'll bring Lonzo in this as well. If you could have anything you wanted in a football facility, because now they have ping pong table rooms, Clemson has a slide, right? If you could have anything you wanted in a football facility, I'm going to guess my producer, Brad, would want a Skyrim virtual reality room in a football facility. What would you go for?
See, that would be awesome, but no, I want a bowling alley.
You want a bowling alley?
Oh, yeah, because you're still doing physical activity.
What's your average bowling score, Lonzo?
Average, probably about 210, maybe.
That's outstanding. I mean, so Lonzo would want a bowling facility. I want, this is very manly what I'm about to tell you here, Brad. I want a full spa, okay? I want the full
That's
spa.
Nice.
I want the massage. I want the oils. I want the aromatherapy.
Do you want the mani-pedi?
No, I didn't say the mani-pedi, Lonzo.
Okay.
All right? All right. cut that crap out, Lonzo.
Well, I would like two things.
Yeah.
I would like an IMAX movie theater.
Nice.
Where I could watch Netflix or current films. And I would like some sort of sneaker store type setting where I could walk in, pick out a new pair of cleats or armbands or any kind of garb that I want to wear on Saturday, I could kind of test out in that facility. Those are two rooms that I think would be must-haves if I was building this thing.
Bowling alley, I think, is realistic. Shoe store, I do not. IMAX theater room, I think, is realistic. Mark Ryan's full spa, I do not, sadly. But
two for four.
There we go. We keep it rolling. Listen, I was shocked at what I saw as I'm scrolling down your list. I didn't think anyone would ever beat Oregon. I imagine the picture you have in your article, is that Cristobal's office there?
That is one of the coaches' office. They did not allow me to go inside Cristobal's. This was under the previous staff. I did not go inside.
That's
the head
most amazing office I've ever seen, and it's not even the head coach's office. Lonzo, look at this office for a second.
Field behind it.
That office is in Oregon, okay? You see the two TVs coming down in front of the desk. You see the windows looking out on beautiful evergreen trees, full lounge couches and all that stuff inside the office. I'm trying to describe it the best I can. Because of the money that Phil Knight throws into that program, I never expected anyone other than Oregon to hold the number one spot, but today, and I visited them for the first time over the weekend, your article has Clemson with the number one facilities in America. Why, Brad?
Now, I'm going to be honest, too. I have not gotten to Death Valley since this thing opened. I have taken every virtual tour. I've had media friends tour it. It's the Taj Mahal, man, as far as facilities go. I've been to Texas A&M, which is my favorite personally in the SEC. But as far as these elite programs go, Clemson just, you know, they took a piece from everybody and pretty much perfected it. I mean, there's a mini golf course. There's the slide, of course. That's the featured thing that Dabo, you know, comes down every ESPN appearance. I think Marty Smith has probably slid down that thing 100 times already. There's a basketball court, wiffle ball field, man. How many of these facilities have a wiffle ball field? That's pretty awesome.
I grew up playing wiffle ball. Did you?
Me too.
Just loved it. The games in the backyard. But I don't even know what a wiffle ball field looks like. Do you have a picture of that anywhere? Can you tweet me a picture of what their wiffle ball field looks like? I haven't seen that.
It's maybe 100 feet to the corners. You know, it's not a.
Okay.
Yeah,
That's incredible.
It's small. It's a backyard-type field, yeah.
So, but it kind of, you know, and when I visited Clemson for the first time this weekend, I was trying to figure out what makes it such a special place. Because I think ultimately, Brad, the culture that Dabo Swinney has instilled there is what's made it special. I often say that when he was interviewed, I share the story that the Board of Regents told him that they wanted Dabo to emulate the program after the likes of Florida and Alabama.
Right.
And then Dabo said something to them that he thought was going to make him eliminated from contention. He said, no, I don't want to do that. I want them to emulate us. And you go there, you go to the campus. The campus is beautiful, rolling hills. Brad, you got to get down there sometime. The football stadium is right in the middle of campus, and the campus is 17,000 acres of perfectly landscaped heaven. So that is working for it. Then you're walking around. They don't have any ropes up between the higher-ups and you. You can go right up to the AD and have a chat. You can go right up to the president and have a chat. As a UF alum, I've never met our athletic director. I worked in the media there for years. Never met him. Dude was the Wizard of Oz. Never met the university president. They're all right there. There's, you know, if you're there with them, you're a part of the Clemson family, and it's a culture and an environment that you just feel. So this football complex, it just feels like the coolest house on the block, man. And it to me, it furthers the family vibe that Clemson wants to put out. Would you agree with that?
And let me tell you, the toughest thing to mimic about this new facility is, you know, you walk in and see two national championships in the last four seasons. I mean, how many schools have that?
Zero.
That's what they can boast about. You know, SEC fans don't like to hear this, but you go to a home game at Clemson, and it's the closest thing you're going to get to, you know, a sellout at LSU, or, you know, a sellout when, you know, the Swamp is rocking, or Sanford Stadium in Athens. I mean, it is an SEC-type atmosphere and type school. They're recruiting at a high level. And Dabo has just been able to really, over the last decade, turn this thing from a, you know, top 25 program to really neck and neck with Alabama right now as far as the place to be in college football, facilities, stadium, and coaching staff wise.
So I got to tour Clemson. I got to visit Clemson. I was on the field for the spring game on Saturday. I got to spend some time in the luxury suite, but I did not get to get the full tour of the football facility that you feature in your article. So Brad, here's the deal. You come down here whenever you get a chance, and you and I are going to tour that facility together. All right?
That sounds great, man.
I'm going to beat you in wiffle ball and in the 18-hole mini golf. All right? We're going to make that happen.
I won't lose in wiffle ball.
Okay. He's calling his shot. He's not going to lose in wiffle ball. I've got an unhittable pitch, Brad. I'm going to warn you. It's completely unhittable. The ball defies the rules of physics, what I'm able to do with it. But anyway, Brad, I really enjoyed it, bud. Thanks so much for the knowledge on kind of an outside-the-box topic, but that's really, really interesting. Thanks again, bud, and let's do it again sometime, all right?
Thanks for the invite, man.
You got it. All right. Brad Crawford, 247sports.com. Coming up next, it would be such a perfect pick for the Carolina Panthers. It just has to happen, doesn't it? That's next. This is the most interactive sports radio show in the upstate of South Carolina. You're Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. A check on the Masters leaderboard. Updating you with the very, very latest here. Francesco Molinari of Italy leads at -7. Jason Day, the Aussie, is also tied at -7. Two Americans are up next, tied for third. Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, followed by Phil Mickelson, who's been playing great. He's at -5. I'm gonna read you some of the Americans here. Matt Kuchar, Justin Thomas are at -4. Bryson DeChambeau is tied for 15th, along with Charles Howell III, Gary Woodland, and also in 15th place, Eldrick Tiger Woods, tied for 15th place. I hope he hits the next one in the drink. Boy, did you know the purse for this is $11 million? For winning the Masters, you win $11 million, man.
That's not bad. That's not a bad day.
For four days of work, you get more money than most professional athletes get in an entire year. Hell, in an entire career, you get if you win the Masters. $11 million purse on the line. Tiger in the hunt, which whether you root for him like you or whether you root against him like me, makes it more interesting. Makes it more interesting to watch. All right? There's no doubt about that. I do want to mention this. My feeling outside looking in, there is a player that is such a perfect fit for the Panthers. And I'm going to get more into the NFL draft as we come along here. But you really hit the jackpot when your need lines up with the best position with the best player available, right? You really hit the jackpot when that's the case. All right. So be that as it may, I believe there's a player at 17 that could very well be the best player available and fit a position of need for the Carolina Panthers. And that player, and I've been waiting to reveal this for you, is DK Metcalf, the wide receiver of Ole Miss. The Carolina Panthers have not had the elite playmaker at the wideout position. Look, Christian McCaffrey's good. I like him. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. You need an elite wide receiver. Steve Smith was the guy who overcame so much, wasn't blessed with the greatest size or athletic ability, overcame a ton of stuff, right? He was Carolina's Hines Ward. But DK Metcalf is the physical freak of nature that Carolina so desperately needs. He's 6'3 and 3/8, 6'3 and a half, 228 pounds. If you haven't seen his physique, look, I am a typical red-blooded American male. I have never seen a more impressive male body than what DK Metcalf is trotting out. You've never seen anything like it. I promise you, you will think it's fake. His physique, you've never seen anything like it. Now, he ran a 4.28 at the NFL Combine at 6'3 and a half, 228 pounds. Here's the problem. He's so big that in the change of direction drills, he didn't test well. Okay, but he's got lightning quick speed and he's got lightning quick size on post up plays. You know how they throw the fade in the end zone from the 7 yard line? He's your guy. On fly routes, he's your guy. To open up the defense, he's your guy. Folks, I feel outside looking in, my personal opinion, you want an electric playmaker if you're the Carolina Panthers, that is the perfect pick. DK Metcalf. For a wide receiver core that doesn't have, quote-unquote, the guy, draft DK Metcalf, give Cam Newton an option to take the top off a defense, and thank me later. Could very well be the best player available at a position of need. Folks, therefore, you have a home run. Billy joins us up next. Billy wants to chime in about the facility rankings in the last segment. Billy, thanks so much for the call, bud. You're offsides.
Hey, Mark, listen, I just wanted to make a quick comment. The guy that I was trying to think of yesterday when I called and we talked about people we couldn't wait to get off the campus down in Columbia.
Yeah, the Mount Suckmore. We did Mount Suckmore yesterday.
Yeah, his name
yesterday.
Was Connor Mitch. Go okay. Look him up. He was a highly ranked kid coming out of North Carolina, and I wish him nothing but success. He just was overranked, and anybody who watched film on him that knew what they were watching knew that. He was a system quarterback, but just go look at his stats right fast coming out of North Carolina. It was unbelievable what he did, but if you see film of him, he had a noodle arm. Anyway, the facilities thing I wanted to talk about, it involves Clemson. You know, before you got here, I guess it was started, Lonzo probably remembers this, it started around 2003 with Tommy Bowden. That West End Zone project, it used to be some seats around the hill, and then it was just a hill there. And they ended up filling all that in, and he kept talking about it helping recruiting, and it clearly helped recruiting after they finished that, and that was before they finished all the other facility upgrades. And I think that you can draw a direct correlation between what's going on over there now and the success that they've had. And what I'm thankful for as a South Carolina fan is that they're pushing South Carolina to get better. They really have. You either just quit or you get better, and South Carolina has gotten better, and I think that we're going to see South Carolina evolve into a perennial top 15 top program. I really believe that. In the next 10 or 15 years because of the facility upgrades that they're having there now.
Ladies and gentlemen, he'll be here all week. Give him a round of applause for that joke that Billy just shared. It was very, very funny. Billy, I kid because I care. I think you make a great point. Right now, I would say South Carolina is a borderline top 25 team, okay? Year in and year out, they're kind of borderline top 25. But that facility... And Brad does a fantastic job, my guest in the last segment, ranking the facilities. He does a ton of research on it. South Carolina's number 7 in the nation right now in facilities. My alma mater, UF, isn't in the top 20. Clemson is number 1. So I think this competition that exists here in the Palmetto State between Clemson and South Carolina is giving you guys some of the most attractive facilities for recruits in the country. You look at what South Carolina's doing, I'm in. I want to go there. I look at the facilities. You know, they've got a ton of acreage out there. Beautiful, you know, beautiful green areas, huge indoor facilities. They mentioned the barber shop, the bells and whistles, the fun things that are inside. You know, that stuff, I mean, it looks like you're going to summer camp when you look at some of these facilities, right? And I want a part of that. I want in on that. I think you're exactly right. I think, you know, you're going to know in the next two seasons whether Will Muschamp is the guy. Because with those facilities, you should be a top 10, top 15 team every year.
Well, they should start recruiting. You know, me and you had this statement before. We made this, and you agreed with it. I made this statement. They should be right around 15 every year. If they're not, then you've got to get a new coaching staff. It's just that simple. And they can compete at that level, even against Clemson and Georgia and Florida, with this type of recruiting rankings. If they're not recruiting at 15 or better, they're not going to. Anyway, I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate it. Mark, have a good trip out there, buddy.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much. Appreciate the call. Yeah, you've got the number 7 facilities in the country. Your average recruiting class the last year is number 19. You should be a top 15 team in the country. We'll see if I'm right and that this year South Carolina shocks the world, goes 8-4 against the toughest schedule in the country. Coming up next, we do it each and every day. We close the show with the best thing we heard today. And today, the best thing we heard is the best scene from perhaps the greatest movie series of all time. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's right here on ESPN Upstate. Yes, it's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. You know, you guys know I bust his balls a lot because we have some fun on the show, but Lonzo, really appreciate you bringing me to the airport here, brother. Really, really do. That's what's called taking care of the talent.
I can change my mind.
Hey, listen. Take care of your stars, okay? Take care of your stars. Take care of the talent. Keep the talent happy, Lonzo. Keep the talent happy. No, man, seriously, really nice of you to do that. Genuinely appreciate it. Tell us about the best thing we heard today. There's a trailer out, evidently, that you're really happy about.
Yeah, Star Wars Episode 9's trailer just dropped. The internet's going crazy about it. We can't play that because it's mostly a visual, but it's an awesome visual. But we can play one of the most famous clips of all from Star Wars.
Han Solo, I'm Captain of the Millennium Falcon. Chewie here tells me you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
Yes, indeed. If it's a fast ship.
Fast ship? You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Should I have?
It's a ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. I've outrun Imperial starships. Not the local bulk cruisers, mind you. I'm talking about the big Carillion ships now. She's fast enough for you, old man.
I don't know what that's from. But I will tell you this, okay? Star Wars was better, and movies were better, and I hope the producers are listening to me right now. It was better when they used real costumes and real models as opposed to all this CGI computer graphics nonsense. Please go back to real costumes and real models. Your movies will be better for it. Which one was that from, Lonzo?
From Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, the first one, probably the only one you ever saw.
Oh, come on, man. Return of the Jedi, way back in the day. Empire Strikes Back. Have a good weekend, everybody. I'll see you back here Tuesday. Matt Harrop filling in for me Monday right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.